Good day. I greet you all in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. So it's Ariel Stroman again with you for the fifth time this week and the last time. And I've been sharing a thought about without excuse. And I'm hoping to conclude this today. So before I go any further, let's just give a short word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day and for this time, Lord, that I can set aside, Lord, to seek you and to talk to you and also to share, Lord, a word that you have made live and vivid for me, Lord. And just have your way and bless everyone, Lord, who hears this today, Lord. And I ask in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Well, we've been looking at different characters of the Bible, and I really enjoy looking at, you know, the lives of the men and also women of God, and how God called them and how they responded to the callings in their lives, and how they have impacted so many people in both their day, but also in, you know, in all times to come after, as we have the Bible as a witness to what God has done in all these people's lives. And of course, I'm looking at my life, you're looking at your life, and whenever we read the Bible, we want it to apply to us. We don't want to read a Bible story and say, well, that was good for him, that was good for her. No, it is good for me, it is good for you, it is good for all of us. And I want to share maybe some short testimonies also today as I conclude, because I find that's a good thing to do. I just want to start by reading in Ecclesiastes. It's in chapter 12, verse 6. Just one verse there. And it says, remember your creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Now that's a verse that has moved me, and in a way, because I understand, you know, this is pointing at our lives, you know, the length of a person's life, and how thin of a thread or how thin of a cord a human life is held by, how quickly life is over and how quickly a life can end with a disease, with an accident, or one person's heart just stops. So it's a thin cord that is holding our lives. And Solomon, who's the author, is wanting the readers to remind ourselves. And what comes to my mind when I see this scripture, I picture my own life as a timeline. And how when we're first born into this world and how we go through life as infants, toddlers, children, youth, we grow up into adulthood, we age, we get old, and if we're lucky, we live to be 100. And through that timeline in every human being's life, God will make a visitation to every human being. There's not going to be one single soul stand on the day of judgment and say, I did not know. I did not hear. Like we read in Romans, everybody, Romans 1 and 2 yesterday, everybody's without excuse on that day. So at one point in every person's life, God is obligated to make himself to make himself known to man and to woman. And I just rewind back to my first encounter with God. I was 9 years old. And at that age, I still remember it today. And that encounter was enough for me to make a choice to say, Dad, can I be baptized? And he said, of course. And I was baptized at the next coming convention we had. And in times in my young preteen years and early teens, the Lord came with visitations, came with blessings, came with, as probably some would say, proof of his existence. Because when something supernatural happens to you in life, you realize this is not a work of man. This has to be God. And, but of course, as many youngsters, I also drifted in my thought. I never left church. Like I said, testified about yesterday, I was always in church, was always trying to be a good boy. But my thoughts were haunted by words that I realized, I'm not a Christian just because I go to church. I'm not a Christian just because I'm brought up a Christian. I have to make a stand. And that thought started to work on my life from the age of 15. And I wrestled with those thoughts for at least a year and a half, close to 2 years, before I came to a, you could say, a conclusion. But Lord, you have shown me enough. I can never deny you, Lord. I want to live for you. I want to follow you. And when that decision was made, you know, that's the time when things changed. Things turned around. And as the cliche that probably every Christian will say, I was never the same again. But it's true. Your perspective of life, your perspective of the kingdom to come, of God, of heaven, of the millennium, of eternity, it just gets a whole new meaning. Because now you see yourself apart in that. And there's a verse I also want to read in Proverbs 29:18. It says, I'm just going to look it up here. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Now that verse really, it caught my attention, because every encounter that a believer has had in life, you know, when God has come and met you or met me, it is as we receive a vision, a revelation, a godly vision, it says, and in another interpretation, and without revelation, it says another. And to be cast off restraint, you know, it means that you can't lead your life. You can't control your life without a vision. So all those encounters in people's lives and in all the examples of the Bible is what keeps a Christian on the path. And also a situation from the Bible that comes to my mind as I'm talking about this, you know, about lives and encounters and how that when God first comes to us, he calls us into a work. You have the situation of Solomon when he was called to be king. He knew he was going to be king, because his father David told him, you are the one who's going to be the successor of my throne. And I just love what that did to him, because that brought the man on his knees. And he said, Lord, I cannot do this on my own. And instead of asking for wealth and for to be prosperous and to conquer territories and land and nations, he cried out to God for wisdom. He cried out to God, God, give me a heart for the people. Because his heart was, there's a people to be led. There's a people that needs an exampleship. Lord, help me to lead them. So by that, he was asking for God's wisdom and knowledge instead of anything else. And that's what God would grant him. And yet he received wealth. He received wives and concubines, you know, 1,000. As if that was necessary. But he was a king. And still, in Ecclesiastes 1, I want to read that from verse 1 to 11. All is vanity. That's Solomon's conclusion. After being the most successful king in the history of man, all is vanity. Verse 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind. And on its circuit, the wind returns, and all streams turn to the sea. But the sea is not full to the place where the streams flow. There they flow again. All things are full of weariness, and man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. And there's nothing new under the sun. There's a thing of which it is said, see what is new. It has been already in ages before us. There's no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who come after. So it's really a sobering thought to just let those words of Solomon sink in each and every one of our lives as we get up every day, every morning. And there's always something we have to do. You know, we got a job, we work, and we're there for several hours of the day to make a living so we can eat, so we can sleep. And without God, and that's what Solomon realized, you know, without God and without serving the will of God, it is all vanity. And my prayer is that that can be always on my mind, in my heart. Because God has shown himself to me as I believe he has to you. And I and you, we will be held accountable for everything God has shown us, given us, and also put on our hearts to do for him. So let us just be, you know, be bold with what God has given us and not hold back. So I'm concluding with that thought, and I'm also realizing there's no excuse, and we just have to press on. So may God bless each and everyone, and I'm thankful for this opportunity, and just have a great day. Amen.